All right, guys, what's up? Welcome back to the Dreams Don't Die audio experience. We've got another guest joining us on the podcast today. He's an up-and-coming music artist from Perth, WA. He's absolutely been on the grind this year, releasing a ton of really good music, and we honestly feel like it is only a matter of time before he is going to blow up. So we're stoked to have him on here. Let's welcome him on. Welcome, Zane Rose.
Hey, baby.
Hey.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the introduction.
Yeah, no problems, bro. We're stoked to have you on. If you just want to start, just give the listeners a bit of a brief background on yourself. What was life like growing up?
I was a pretty chill, reserved kid, I feel like, growing up. Very much just observing everything. I didn't really, like, speak out too often. It was sort of just, like, just chill in the background, I feel. And then hitting, like, teenage years, I started... Sort of, I could tell, looking back now, I can see, like, the little signs where I was, like, starting to move toward hip-hop. And my cousin had a boyfriend that really introduced me to it. And then my older cousin also introduced me to it a little bit with Tupac and that. And then I sort of started rapping around when I was turned 17 at a party. I started freestyling. And then from there, I just started building this little imaginary world in my head. And started it. Every song was almost like a piece closer to that. Like I see right there, there's a picture of palm trees in paradise. Like that's what I have in my brain. So I just want to create this like perfect reality.
You know, hey, that's really fucking cool, man. Yeah, like we always say, you know, it all starts from within your mind with your thoughts and that sort of thing.
So. But it took a long time for me to like unlearn all the bad shit that I like that kill your dreams, you know, and like kill all the
bro like. As you're growing up, as you would know, you know, you put through this sort of system in school and that.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly,
you go to school, you leave school, you get a 9-to-5 job, you know, you get married, you have kids. Like,
it's and just, I was really, like stupid at school. Well, not stupid, I didn't apply myself right, but I also wasn't, like, it just wasn't a place that I thrived in and the teachers didn't really care for me because I didn't care about being there. So it was, like, it was like every time I tried to like do something, I was always like knocked back. So I was like, fuck it, who cares?
Yeah, it's and, not a system that always like supports.
I mean, it's good for some people and it's sometimes not. But like if I was in that situation now, being mature and like understanding what I should and shouldn't do or whatever, I probably would, if I did it again, I'd be right.
Yeah, do it differently.
And so obviously you said you started rapping and that when you were probably about 17. Like before that, were you interested in music? Was that something you sort of always had a bit of a passion for?
Nah, not really. Like I played violin when I was younger, like in primary school. But that was like purely just a girl was in there. That didn't really last too long. And then when I was about 14, 15, I was playing ukulele a little bit, but I only ever like watch the tutorial and I just knew no finger placement. I didn't actually like care to like learn properly, but I definitely started around that time. I definitely started like listening more to music and trying to like sing and shit. But I didn't really think that I never in a million years thought I'd be something. I always used to think that like famous people and shit like that were like a different breed of human. Like growing up, like I just didn't think was possible. But I also had this thing in my mind was like we should just like give it an like a try and like see if it is real, you know?
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, man, because like same with us growing up with the writing and that.
Yeah.
Like you see like the world champions and that, and because you're so far from that, you never really taught that you can achieve that. Yeah. You always taught, oh yeah, you're good for Australia, you're good for where you are.
Yeah,
you need to be, you're not good enough to be sort of at that level over there. But
and they may not say that directly, but like the little comments and the lack of support and like you feel it, you know.
Yeah, you're not taught to sort of believe in yourself and what you're
Exactly, bro,
Once you sort of open your mind to those possibilities and what you can actually do, it's, pretty nuts.
It's crazy.
Start out.
It's crazy and then it can also send you crazy. But it's still cool.
And obviously, like, growing up, like, I know, like, in your younger, everyone sort of thinks they can sing all right and that.
Yeah,
their shit. When did you sort of realise that, what you can actually do is pretty good?
Well, like, going back to me, like, being a more reserved person, I think it was because I didn't have, like, very high self-worth. So, like, I never really thought that I was going to be, like, a singer. Or like, I hated, like, lights on, like, people looking at me. Like, I didn't like that at all. I still don't really like it. And for the Zane Rose stuff, I've come out my shell for it. I'm still very much the like kid just chilling, and there's one time I was singing on my phone. I don't know why, I just recorded something, a cover, and then like my friends heard and they're just like playing me out, and I was like, felt so embarrassed. I was like, man, this is so shit. I'm so like, why would I even try to sing? And then I don't know, honestly, that night at the party, I literally just put my head down and I started freestyling. That just changed everything for me. Like, it was like this feeling that I got, and it comes and comes and goes, and like, but there's this feeling that I just got deep inside. I was like, man, this is fucking like, oh, this is like everything. And it wasn't a case of like, oh, what if other people care? I was like, man, I never felt this alive before. I'm just going to like run it till it's dead. But it's not just running it till it's dead. It's like finding out the appropriate way to do it. And like all these years, I've been doing it for 9 years now. So it's like, I've had all of these different trials and tribulations and hurdles. And now it's just feeling really clear, which is cool.
So you like knew then in that moment.
Yeah,
like,
it was right from there. Yeah. It was like everything had just aligned. Like I was always jumping from different sport. I played heaps of sport as a child, trying to like just find that thing that really stuck with me. But I always get sick of things. And then, when that came along that night, the 11th of the 7th was on my face.
Yeah, that's awesome. You got it tattooed there as well. That's it.
All my tattoos are like, it's like a blueprint.
Got meaning.
To who I am.
Like if I was, you got a few as well.
Yeah. If I was shot out into space, I think about this, I don't know why, but in a glass box when I die, my whole body's like got my whole story on me, you know what I mean? Like, I land on a planet, like, they'll be able to decipher it.
That's sick. And like, just touching on what you said about sort of finding your purpose, I feel like a lot of people sort of struggle, you know, growing up to find their purpose. Do you think, like, as you were saying, you tried a lot of different stuff. Do you think that's how you found yours, by experimenting and trying different things?
I think I didn't realize that I was at the time. I just knew that, like, this is blowing my heart's in, and now I want to try the next thing, and like, I'll get good at it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be the most outshining, but I'd like get really good at it real quick. And, yeah, I think it did without me realizing it, And then when I felt that night, I was like, holy shit, this is what I've been like looking for. Because I always knew in my heart that I was going to be something. For some reason, even though I had like low self-worth, like I said, and was more the background guy, I always felt like I had like a big, something big ahead of me, you know what I mean? Like, destined for something huge. But like, but it was so weird that I felt like that because I felt so small.
Yeah, you know? It's funny. Yeah, growing up, I feel like we sort of had that exact same sort of feeling. You know, you might not know exactly what it's going to be, because you ain't going to have that normal life, you know?
Yeah. And you already knew from a young age, like, I'm not going to settle and be that grumpy guy that always goes to the same deli and like...
And like, I feel like, I feel like a lot of young people do have that feeling, but they quickly like let it burn out. Yeah. You know, obviously society, as we're saying, other people's opinions, that sort of shit, they just sort of let that like burn that flame out. But if you can like really hold on to that.
Yeah, 100%. Like that night, like I feel like I might have even been right on the edge of like sort of six, because it gets 17 years on this planet of like not knowing what I'm doing. Maybe it's like, fuck, maybe it's just how it's going to be, you know what I mean? Maybe I just don't fit in a place, like, and I'm just searching for nothing. But yeah, for whatever reason, I started freestyling that night. I looked next to me and I said to my friend at the time, I was like, bro, listen to this. And like, he's like, oh, fuck, I'm too fucked up. And I was like, man, like, what the fuck? I literally was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's it.
Like, I was just like, oh. And yeah, 3 months of just freestyling, like, around my other group of friends, I started getting them rapping. And so we're all rapping. And then I put together a studio at my house. And then, like, Harley, you know Harley?
Yeah, he was one
of the dudes, his brother, a dude called Ricky. And, man, like, all we'd do is rap to the point where, like, my girlfriends, like, don't want to, like, it's just causing problems, you know what I mean? Like, we're sitting there drinking, like, oh, he's going to rap again tonight and shit. I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Fuck, sounds like you haven't sort of looked back since then.
Nah, I really haven't. It's cool to talk about because I forget, like I was saying before, I'm, like, sitting here, like, not stressing about the releases, but sort of just the stresses that come with putting stuff you care about out.
Yeah.
But then I forget about how fun
shit actually is. Yeah, for sure, man. Like, it's the same, like, even with us in the business and that, you know, things, like, are so hectic nowadays. We're so busy doing so much. And you do need to just remember, like, what you enjoy about it. I think back when we started and we were earning no money and that, same in the writing before we even had any success with that, you're just doing it because you love it. And as long as you sort of never let go of that, as hectic as shit gets,
A 1,000%. Yeah, I keep looking at this photo, bro. It's fucking, I love that. That's you two standing there, right?
Yeah, man. That's it's just from Cairns over east, but yeah, really.
Yeah, nice. No, it's, yeah, it's beautiful.
So touching back to the music side of things, bro, yeah. Obviously this year you've been releasing like a shit ton of good music, as we were saying this morning. It must take like a lot of creativity to come up with so much music. Like, where does your creativity stem from?
And I feel like, so all the music that's releasing right now, I wrote like a year ago. I had like a period where I just wrote all of this music. And so, I know, I think there's like a magical pocket that you can fit in when like I made all this music and nobody knew about it, and I'm sitting on it, listening to it. Then I'm saying, like, is it good? Like, I felt like it was sick before, but is it good now? Blah, blah. And then putting it out, it's
like when you put the music out, like, yeah, are you like 100% happy with it before it goes out?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. I am 1000% happy with it, but like, it's like you dissect every section of it for so long, yeah. And then you like obsess over it. Like, sometimes I feel like it's probably unhealthy the way I obsess over my demos and things like that.
Like, it's your work, you'd be a bit of a perfectionist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then I just get to the point where I'll just like really just juice the cunt, like, to the point where it's like, bro, like, fucking just chill for a bit.
But, and are you writing then just like sort of when it comes to you, or you like sort of like force yourself to write time? Like,
I need to get some shit. Well, right now, because we're like releasing stuff, I'm sort of just letting it come to me. And I'm also trying to give myself a little like creative break.
Yeah.
Even though I like still like can't seem to just chill. But yeah. But I've always been like emotive with it. Like, if I feel it then and there, I'll get into it. Or, like, and I know if I'm about to feel something coming. Like, before, when I wrote all that music that's coming out now, I just comes to me strange. Like I just hear something, and it's usually like a melody in my ear that I can hear when I play a beat that I'll sort of start just like mucking around with, sort of testing it. And then
there's so many different like components to putting like the song together. Like, do you have a process that you sort of follow?
So it sort of starts at my house. The song options I put out, I was having like an argument with someone, and then I spoke to a friend, and he sort of said, you got too many options, that you have to worry about that shit. And then I went and played basketball, and I was listening to the beat over and over, and I was like, too many options. And then I went home, and then like I made it all. I always like to make pretty much everything that I put out is like I've made it at my house by myself.
Yeah.
So I just like, I know it's because I'm an only child as well, but I really like creating by myself, and there's no like outside influences. I do like working with other people, don't get me wrong, but I feel like I make my best work by myself. And so I sort of put it through my laptop, like the demo, but sometimes I get so attached to the demo because it's so, the feeling is so raw in there. But then I'll go to record at the studio with my boy, and who engineers me, and we'll sort of get it sounding like a lot better. But it takes me a little bit to like be okay with leaving the demo alone, because like I can still hear it in my head.
And is most of your music then, as you're saying, then like options that sort of stem from something that actually happened in your life?
Most
of your music.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think even like to the fullest degree, it's definitely things that happen that inspire me, and then I sort of write about it. Like my song Kid Cudi, "She don't want to love me, she want drugs more." Like, I literally was like wanting to get back with the girl that I was with, but she just wanted to get out, go out and party and have drugs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was like, that's literally how the song started too. And the song's about drugs. But I feel like everything comes from a genuine, real place. Yeah, and I try to stick to that scoop. Like, I got integrity in my throat. So I try to always, ever since I put that there, I feel like I've been mindful of what I say, what I record, what I write down, things like that. So I try to always keep it authentic. And I think that's why I can move around like all different places. Like, the music that I haven't released yet, but it's coming out, is like, this dude's really diverse, you know?
Yeah.
And I never want to be just a rapper.
Passion sort of shows through as well when it does stem from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And everything's feeling like I'm fucking that photo so much because there's just so much feeling in it, you know what I mean? Like, I know it's just, if you're not really putting feeling in your stuff, I don't understand how you expect
everything's
people to feel
energy,
it,
man.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
We say the same, like, whatever we want to achieve, whatever we're sort of working towards, you know, like we've touched on before, we're into like meditating, that sort of shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're very big on putting yourself in the situation, actually feeling
things before they come
to you and that sort of stuff. Because, it's energy, man. Mm. Feeling energy.
What you put out into the world is what you get back, you know? Like, if you're positive and you're fucking putting out good vibes, you're going to get more of that back.
Yeah.
We try to focus on that a lot.
Yeah, it's the currency.
And so obviously the music industry, man, that's fucking like super competitive. What's like, do you have to try and stand out? Like, what's the best sort of way to stand out and get noticed?
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think it comes down to like your intent. Like when I first started it, it was literally that pure feeling of like, fuck, this is like, even though I was very like, not good back then, I felt like I was the fucking man. Like, I thought I was about to get signed. I literally thought I was like, there's this thing that happened when I was like, I'm about to get fucking signed, boy. And I'm like, couldn't even, like, I swear, I think they even started watering my eyes, bro. I was on the bus somewhere to where I was like, what the fuck? And, bro, nothing. But things like that would happen often throughout my journey that would, like, give me a little taste of like what it could be like if I keep going, you know?
Bro, I think like, that's super relevant. Like a lot of people, you know, they'll get them highs and they'll get super high, but then they won't be able to handle the lows. And
I learned to contain my excitement because of those first few times and then getting like, feel like I shitted on myself because I built this expectation in my head. But yeah, I started containing my excitement. But sometimes I feel like, did I contain too much where like shit doesn't make me happy?
No. Yeah,
but but at the same time, I think it is important because as a young guy growing up, I did have a pattern of like getting hell excited and acting on that and then just looking silly.
It's fucking, it's easy to do, man. Yeah. Like shit, which you would have obviously learned, it doesn't happen overnight. Like you've been working on your craft for fucking years now, you know, and now it's really starting to pay off.
People
don't see like the process. Might see you have your break when it happens, and then you know you'll be famous and you'll be rapping, you'll be doing your shit all over the world, but people don't see the process.
Yeah, the different phases that you went through, to be able to operate in the way that you operate. Going back to the feeling thing, like if it's not feeling genuine or whatever you're saying, that's sort of why I like hopped off Instagram, because I wasn't really feeling like it was like genuine for me anymore. Like it was, it was just, I don't know.
Because you're taking a break from there at the moment, right?
Taking a break from Instagram. This is sort of just like, it was starting to, I could feel it starting to take a toll on my creative space. And whenever something's sort of, I'm feeling like a little bit uncomfortable and unsettled creatively, I always just analyze my life. And that was the one thing that kept being like, that's what you need to sort of distance yourself.
Is that like, you think, like, are you spending just too much time on there? Or is it too much reading time into what other people are doing?
Necessarily. I mean, I think that is an aspect that I'm unconsciously taking in. It's like, oh, this person doing this, this person doing that. But at the same time, I'm very confident in what I'm doing. Like, I don't look around at people that are rapping and be like, fuck, that's my competitor. Like, it's so much more pure to me that where it's like, I literally just do this and this is how I am. Like my whole life is like, is without sounding corny, like my music, like I walk with my flow. Like it's just like very me, you know, like, so it doesn't matter. Like if somebody around me just blew up, like I don't take that as, like I'm not insecure. Like I'm not going to be like, oh fuck. Like,
everyone's good, on you know? Their own.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand that. And me and my friend were talking about it the other day. It's like, Vinco, there's like a magical wand, right? There's like millions of them. Everyone's got their own magical wand. And it's like, it's for you and only you. You know what I mean? Like, so that's how I think about it. I don't really
with social media and that, everyone sees like everyone's sort of so-called best life. So everyone's trying to like compare that to their own.
But, you know, and naturally start sort of acting out. Like, and it's not natural. It's
we're all special in our own way. You know, should just, like you're saying, focus on yourself. Yeah. Your only competition is yourself at the end of the day. It should be anyway.
And like looking, I find myself like seeking validation sometimes. I put up a story or something, or like I'll put up a little a snippet of a song, and it's like, what am I doing that for? You know what I mean? Is it because I'm feeling like, am I feeling secure right now? Is that what it is? Then it's like, fuck. Yeah, I don't know. I just want to do a break.
But the good thing about it is, you know, you're sort of at the point where you're aware of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And ask yourself them questions.
Yeah. And not only that, the music can speak for itself now.
Yeah,
like, I don't.
Yeah.
I realize that at a point too is like to being great. Like you can't message Drake right now and he's gonna reply. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that I have to distance myself and can't reply to people, but it's more like as an artist and like the way I see myself. If you're so accessible, then you're just like so familiar, and you just like you're just a bit normal, and people aren't gonna view in that space. Not that I ever want to be viewed as like bigger than people, like because I'm very much not about that. But it's more like I've just sort of got to take myself back, recoup creatively, get back in my zone. Physically feel good, mentally feel good, and use Instagram as my tool rather than it, like sort of.
It's a powerful thing. Like you're obviously quite like aware of your thoughts. And that's where a lot of people fall into the trap there, because you know they'll be going through all that shit, but they're not even aware of what's happening to them or what they're doing on there. And that's
exactly.
People,
I see it in people like that I even like admire, and it's like it's sad because you can't. There's only so much you can say to someone, especially if you're not super close with them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't sort of tell people that they're doing it. You know, like they sort of have to be in the right place in their life.
Yeah, to be able to accept the information.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, you probably just are going to look like a dog.
They're not going to lie.
Or like anything in Hollywood or some shit.
So, like we're talking about positivity and all that, how important is surrounding yourself, like, with the right team and the right people?
Yeah, I think I've, like, growing into just being able to detect bullshit like fairly quickly. So everybody that I'm surrounded with now, I'm like proud to say that each one of them, I feel like would only say good things about me behind my back.
So you like
to them,
got
so.
Like management team behind you.
Yeah.
How long's that? Have you been with them for Point of Hill management?
Point of Hill. Shout out to Point of Hill. Probably a year and a half, I think.
Yeah.
So it started because I started barbering, and it's funny as well. Going to the barber, so I was in construction before this, and I was like, man, I need to like, I'm not really breaking out into new circles and like meeting people that I know I need to meet, like just networking and whatever. And I wasn't great at like conversating for long periods of time, and I was like, I always love barbering, and I hate construction, so I'm gonna try barbering. So when I'm going into barbering, I'm like, what do I need right now? I need management and I need da 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 da. I was like, right, I think I'm going to find management here. And I always like move like that. I'm a very universal like dude. I didn't realize it. I thought everyone sort of thought like this, but then I started realizing more and more that not everybody thinks like this, but I've always moved like this. And I'd said to myself, I'm going to find management. And then maybe like 3 months into working there, Zach that was running Hidden, and a bunch of like Basement with Joe, a bunch of other events.
The big Perth event.
He came in and like straight away I was like, oh, this is a dude that could manage me. You know what I mean? But then I was also, I knew not to get too excited because of what happened last time. So I was at this point, I'm not even really telling people I do music. Like it's more just, I wanted people to find out for themselves, and I wasn't pushing any online either. I was sort of just like showing friends. And I ended up leaving this barbershop, so I was like, it mustn't be the thing with this guy. But then Nick that I was working with started telling Zach, Zane does music, like let me show you, but I started showing him, and apparently he was like showing interest, like, oh, what the fuck, I didn't know you've done music. But then I started working Northbridge, and this is where shit really starts to click in my head, because like, my first day in Northbridge working barber, I look behind me, Joe Gammon's in there, and I'm like, oh, they got me. And then he comes walks in, like, he doesn't know who I am. I know who he is.
Yeah.
And then I give him his haircut or whatever. Like, still, I made it a point to not talk about music. Like, he was talking about, we're talking about our liking for music, but we didn't talk about me doing music.
Yeah.
And that went on for, maybe 8 more haircuts. And I was on my way to Sydney for a trip that I had planned to go do some music with somebody. And that's when I brought it up with Joe. Show me what you do when you come back. I was like, yeah. And then I sent it to him when I got back. And then he's pretty much like, I didn't realize Zach had already heard your stuff. Let's meet this weekend, if have a meeting, like if you can. I was like, yeah, I already knew what was going to happen. And
when it's meant to be, meant to be.
And so like we spent a long time sort of, I guess, getting to just to know how each other's works. I always said that I never wanted somebody to tell me what I should do. And from then, Joe even like brought it up with me. He's like, I always made sure that that was something that he keeps in mind when dealing with me.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been perfect, bro. He's like, not only is he like growing into a good friend, or both of them, so, but yeah, just like top dudes, manage my stuff well.
How's the sort of management help you progress with your music?
Yeah, it's sort of like going back to the validation thing, like it sort of like helped, not that I needed it, but I felt like I needed it. Like it was like a stamp from two people that know what they're doing in Perth. They know what good music is.
Yeah.
And they like my stuff enough to be like, we want to help you put this stuff out to the world. So that made me feel like, I know, it took me to another creative space where I was like, fuck, this dream is becoming a bit more real now. Like, I believed in it before, but now that other people believe in it, I'm believing in it more, you know?
Yeah.
And then that sort of is growing. And then like the more music I've put out, because we only sort of just pushed, like a year ago, we put our first song out, and then a couple songs, but we're putting songs out here and there, but like I'm working heaps. Like I'm really like, especially because they started managing me, I wanted them to know that like I'm a hard worker. And because I was just feeling super inspired around that time. And yeah, I wrote like, probably like everything that I'm putting out right now, I probably wrote around there. Which is cool because now when I go to do the new stuff, when this EP comes out, the EP is more of the last like 6 months, 3 to 6 months. And then the stuff after that, it's like, yeah, I just really want people to hear the growth. I want them to hear, I'm excited for when they do hear the growth.
So you got a pretty good plan moving forward. And
Yeah. The plan is all like cemented until like March next year.
Nice,
man. Solid flow of music.
What, second half, I think we're looking before, since July, you've released what, 6 or 7 songs? Mm. 6 songs?
Six? Yeah. I worked it out. By the end of the year, I would have like, I think 15 to 17 songs. Yeah, that's
a big part of anything you're doing. What you sort of find these days is the consistency. You know, seeing your stuff, always trying to be in the forefront of people's mind and that sort of thing.
So, and like the thing with like getting noticed and going viral and stuff, like sometimes like it's not the shit which you think go viral. Like, you know, like the Chainsmokers. How they got well known was off that song Selfie. You know, they didn't want that to be the song that got like shit like that. Like, you just never
takes
know.
Takes on a life
like,
of itself.
So if you're not putting stuff out, then you don't have that chance. But obviously, like we're saying, you've been putting shit out. Yeah. So it's fucking good.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Yeah. It is good. It feels good putting stuff out because it took me like a long time to get to the point where I was happy to. I understood, all right, we're really going to go out the gates here and like actually like. Gun for this before I put things out, like then I'll take everything down, change my name, and do this like so many times, you know what I mean? So I knew when I done the Zay stuff and I put it out, I was like, all right, this is the vehicle we're hopping in.
Yeah, you knew then, like, yeah, this is it now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to like really, I know it's fragile, creativity is very fragile for me, it's fragile, yeah, so I just gotta handle it correctly.
And so at the moment, then, are you working on your music full time? Are you still working part time?
I've been pretty much doing music full time. But yeah, I'm getting back into barbering just because I get a bit more cash and that coming in. But then I have my son as well that I have like 50, 60% of the time.
So yeah, we were going to ask that. How do you find like balancing that, you know, like the music, obviously, you know, your son, family life? Like, is it hard juggling everything or are you?
I've sort of like, so when I was 17, like I said, I started music, but I also had a son then too that I'm not in contact with. That's like another conversation, but I was in his life for a good 3-4 years. So I already understood breaking up my weeks and like allocating like brain space and time and things into that, but I wasn't able to do it to the best of my ability. Whereas with my son now, he lives with me. And like, yeah, it was quite, I mean, it was not easy because like me and his mum split up and there was just a lot of things that happened. And then blah, 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 blah. It wasn't easy getting to this point, but I definitely like was like familiar with the space I was going in, like having my second child. Yeah. And then so I never, ever, ever let anything excuse my lack of making music. So I always had been making music even in like shitty times. So it's very much like a part of my life. So when my son Koji came along, he's a part of my life, and it just fit in its space that it was meant to fit in. It just sort of just works that way. Like last night I had a music meeting and my son was with me. Like I don't, yeah, it's not like two separate things for me.
No, do you find like obviously having your two sons that gives you like a lot of purpose and a lot of drive to
Yeah, it does. I was actually speaking to my friend today about it because he's sort of going through this thing where he's like not knowing what he wants to do. Like all of these life worries are coming in and I'm sort of trying to give him advice, but I sort of put it down to like, I think because I had these big things happen early on in my life, I guess I like figured out how to juggle it all.
Yeah.
And then still keep the dream alive.
Yeah.
And then especially now, like before then I was in two relationships mostly when I was doing music. Now I'm single, I have my son, but like that's like so much more time to myself. So it's
100%.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and like I like how you just said like keep the dream alive, you know. Yeah. Like it's fucking, we say it all the time, like, you know, think everyone when they're like 13, 14, 15, even 16, everyone's like, oh, I'm gonna fucking do this with my life and be all this, but how many people like lose that passion?
And then they get on the billies.
But yeah, if you can keep a hold of that and just keep working for what you want, you know, like you've got time. Like people don't realize that.
Everyone's
like, you know, fuck, I'm 25, like I'm nearly 30, like, and I, you know, have it. You've still got so much time. Like you don't need to put a time limit on.
Yeah, you really don't. And that's the thing as well that social media like gets you to thinking. It's like you start comparing your time to someone else's time. It's like, bro,
we're all in our
two different timelines.
Yeah,
100%. I think time in general is like it's a weird thing.
You just gotta fucking like 100% trust in the process and know that
you're on your own path
and you're gonna get where you want to get. Yeah. And if you're doing what you're passionate about, then being, you know, just enjoying the present moment and the journey.
That's
the most important
thing. That's I think one of the main things I learned that watching The Last Dance, Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
His whole thing was like, he was, I can't remember who said it, but it's like people spend like millions of dollars to go to like a retreat and to be present. Like Jordan was present every single game. Like that was why he was so good at what he done. You know what I mean? And like,
exactly.
I think he even spoke about it, to staying present and not worrying about the shot that you haven't even taken yet and like letting the anxiety like kill you. And it goes with life as well. It's like, I think everybody doesn't realize that they're actually just fighting just to be present.
Yeah, no, very true, man. You're not, it's not really something like some people would be, but the majority, you're not taught any of that
growing up.
You're not taught about that sort of side of life.
You're just taught distractions.
Your feelings. Yeah, you're right, man. 100%. Learning about all that stuff's made a huge impact on us getting to
where we want to be. Like the meditation and stuff you spoke on, like things like that,
Say you're obviously on a similar wavelength.
Yeah, definitely. I've always been very open to all that sort of stuff. I think it's cool. Like I've always felt drawn to it, attracted to it. Yeah. And like loudmouth sort of egotistical people I've sort of never really like gelled with.
So I
learned early on like my type of hurt, like people that I want to keep around me. But I wasn't, like I said, I was sort of just let life take the wheel back then.
And sort of so far on your journey, have you performed at like say many events and stuff like that? Or
performed at Hidden, didn't you?
Yeah, I performed at Hidden.
Yeah, how was that?
That was cool. Yeah, that was really cool.
Because you were saying like obviously growing up, you know, you didn't really always like want to be in front of people.
How did you make that transition
to actually being okay on stage?
And I hadn't actually been to a festival before until I
performed.
So I always said in my head, like, I swear I robbed myself of a lot of fun when I was younger, but I was like, nah, no clubs, no festivals and shit, like, until you're on that stage rocking it, like, I'm not going to the club unless I'm on the stage, you know what I mean? Like,
I
mean, it's cool, but, like, I probably could have heaps of fun.
So first festival when you were
I was on stage, that was sick. But going back to the, like, I feel like as soon as I'm on stage, it's like I just understand what needs to happen, and I just understand that I need to perform, and I show up and I perform, and then after it sort of it's still there, like the energy's still there, but I do prefer just like chilling.
Yeah, Yeah.
But I love performing. I love the rush of performing.
Like, it must feel pretty good. Like, yeah, yeah. On the stage in front of everyone, you know. Yeah, it must feel like a good feeling.
Yeah, yeah. And I've had, like, I've actually had a handful of performances in all my years of, like, just trying to make this stuff work. And then, like I was saying, changing my names, blah, blah, blah. But, like, in all those times, we're doing, me and my friends were doing heaps of shows, but they were, like, Rockingham, like, bad places, bad venues, like, not a great crowd, but, like, we didn't give a fuck, like, and it was we just like rapping our fucking tongues off, bro. Like disgustingly just like rapping. Like now when I'm like building the show, I'm like, fuck it, what the fuck was I doing back then? No wonder no cunt was rocking out. But it felt, I still felt it back then, like
at the time,
felt
it still felt
So going back to your question, how did I feel? Yeah, it felt good being on that stage. But it also was like, all right, this is the, because I've gone from like my stuff getting pushed and stuff, which is all sick, everyone's listening, and then I'm on a festival, which is sick, but then I very much am humbled because I'm right to the bottom of the totem pole, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
which is sick though, because I understand there's levels to it and I wear myself up, but it was like, it was interesting to just experience that concept of like, all right, you thought you'd done enough work to get people listening, like now, boom. Yeah. The next element of hip hop or like performance,
like everything, man, it just works in levels.
Yeah, literally, bro. Yeah, and then like right now, like we're about to do this show November. Shadow, Jadon, me, Monk, Prophet. I think that's all. And like I was saying before, like all this exercise, I've been like running heaps and just training. And now this is all gonna work well for the performance. Like and all the layers seem to just like mesh in together. That's how my life has been like.
And when's this performance end of the year? Because obviously November, COVID, everything got shut down. Like Perth stuff's obviously opening back Perth up. And that. So when's this happening?
I believe it's like November 7th or the 10th.
Nice.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. That's gonna be crazy. And because like we're all like good friends, so yeah, it's gonna be like just a family affair. And yeah, just heat. And we all have different networks of friends around the city that we like. That will want to come and support us. So it's just going to be so many different people. And yeah, it should be a fucking sick night.
It'll be a fucking sick night, sure. Yeah.
Moving on from there, obviously, you know, the bigger you will be performing more and more. Do you have, like, any event, any festival that you would really want to perform at?
Check off the list.
Is there anything, like...
Nothing really jumps out to me. Yeah, I just would love to travel around the world and sell out show, like genuine tickets being sold, people like really like there for me, and them just singing every word and like, and just like feeling that energy.
That's
like
sick.
So like any festival that I show up to, I feel like is the festival that I want to
play.
You know what I mean? Like every time I jump on stage, it's like, man, this really started at a birthday party, and like look what I made, you know what I mean? Like that's I'm getting the feeling right now.
And you know, like you speak, like you know it's already gonna happen. That's everything.
That's it, bro. If you can put yourself in that sort of feeling, that position before it's already happened,
bro.
Times just cage. You're halfway there, bro. We know it's gonna happen.
Like when I'm on the cross trainer, I gotta use a cross trainer because fucking my knees be hurting, bro. Like, but I'm on there, bro, and I'm like my headphones on. I literally just like put my head down, eyes closed, and I'm like, whatever I'm doing, bro, is fucking the sickest thing ever. Like I'm either like running on stage, doing something, or I'm like freestyling on Sway, like, which is a hip hop dude. Just thinking about conversations I'm having with rappers, like I very much live. That's why it's so fucking frustrating sometimes, because I'm like, like I'm already there in my head, but I understand its levels, but like when I go to do all the big things, they're gonna be like, man, like he does it so naturally. Like it's because I've been there already a thousand times in my head. I can't wait.
So yeah, you're obviously quite deep into like obviously the idea of manifestation,
I mean, like I never really searched for it. I've just always, even as a very young child, like I always picked up on like little, very like intricate things that I started realizing that other people weren't. I think that's why I'm a good judge of character now. That's why I can walk into a room and I evaluate it really quickly. I can see the threat. Like when I'm with my son, that's all I'm really doing. Like, I'm just like looking around, like if anyone's looking dodgy, seem like a threat, like energy and all that sort of stuff. Not even talking like, oh, I'm fucking like big spiritual guy, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm just that way inclined, and it's been like this for so long that it's natural.
Comes natural. Yeah. Well, there's a lot more, to life and your experience. Taught and stuff, for sure.
And that's what, going back to the distractions, like, I think as humans are quite easily distracted, especially like flashy like things or like some titties or something, you know? It's like, you like literally like the path of enlightenment, some titties. It's like, I'm going to see them titties, you know what I mean? Like,
very true. There's a lot of fucking distractions in life these days, you know, like not a lot of people have the discipline to stay.
That's a huge thing, self-discipline though. So
obviously doing what you would do, discipline would be a huge part of it too.
But it didn't really fully start cementing until I started taking like physical training seriously. And then like the self-discipline really hits like,
so
now I'm like feeling like I'm being reborn again, bro, because I'm like, I've never been this consistently like fit and like looking at my physique and like happy with where it's going, you know what I mean? And like it all just starts seeping into everything else. So I genuinely feel like I'm just about to turn 21 and I'm about to be born again.
Hey, we don't feel fucking a day over 21 either, you know?
Bro, I swear, it's weird. Once you hit 21, bro, it's like you forget about your age.
And you realise like, obviously, like, if you are aware of that, like, time that the age means nothing. It's literally just, a construct that doesn't mean shit.
Yeah, because, sometimes you'd be like, fuck, 26 years old. You'll, like, look around. You'd be like, man, like, I thought it was going to be different, you know what I mean? Like, but then you realize, like, you're on the way to being different. It's not about...
You've got time.
Like society, you know, does try and put a thing on age and that, like, you know, like what you're 30 and you don't have kids or you're not in a relationship, you know, like they look on it as a negative thing. But
like when I left school, I got asked to leave because I wasn't going to graduate, and I like just went to some like a trade school and I started learning electrician, right? Electrical.
Yeah.
Didn't even say it right. And how's me leaving school because I'm unable to learn, especially mathematics? I get into electrical, bro. Like, so I'm kicking my feet, like, fuck this place. Like, but you're like pressured into, like, my mom thought it was a great idea for me to do an apprenticeship. No, I knew it was a terrible idea. But my mom was like, and like, what was I going to say? Like, I'll figure it out when I'm 17. So I just went along with it, but like,
It's easy to just, just to go along with it and not. Yeah, do what you feel is right.
And people will try to project their, like, what they missed out on you to do. And it's, once you overcome all that, it's life's pretty cool.
Yeah, fucking 100%. And so, obviously, where, say, would you see yourself in 5 years' time? What's the goals? Any big goals?
5 years. 5 years. I would love to be very, very well established globally. In the next like year or two, I see myself, not that it's about signing a deal, but I feel like I've already put it out there, and I won't say like the artist that I want to sign to, but it isn't like there is artists that I want to sign to rather than like a record label or whatever. But in the next two, I'd want to be signed to one of these artists, have like a decent catalog out, have an album. I'd like a big debut album within two.
Yeah.
And then, the third year, just be touring and really just like establishing myself. Fourth year, being like, all right, this kid's like here to stay. Fifth year, just like, well cemented in this. The dude that took Australian hip hop, or hip hop in Australia, I should say, to another level, that really like bridged the gap, that can create all these different relationships over in America, that can get the respect that he's looking for, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm just going to be very much like, where'd this kid come from 5 years from now? And then I'll be right there at that fucking
level. Said it now, bro. Yeah. It's fucking, you put it out there. It's happening, man. Like,
100%. The way. And then everything in between is just going to be just a beautiful process. I'm going to try to stay present, actually. That's going to be my main goal.
Nah, that's epic, man. Fucking... Yeah, definitely relate to the way you're going about what you're doing, and the way, you know, you see everything, the way you're doing it. And
thanks,
I think,
bro,
fucking big things coming for sure, bro.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm actually really excited for Perth in general. I feel like we sort of, as a collective, don't necessarily like walk around like swinging our cocks around, so people don't automatically like take us seriously, you know what I mean? Yeah. But then the hard work really shows off, and I feel like it's, as a city, like we're really about to like start snapping necks.
Yeah, man, in multiple industries.
Multiple. I reckon like literally like every industry, bro. Like yeah, we've got it covered.
There's a lot of good people and big things that come out of her. So obviously, especially you're like right. gets talked down from overseas. Yeah. But nah, man, you're spot on there. I think it's an awesome place if you're trying to, you know, do something different and make something of yourself.
Especially if you've already low-key been like planting heaps of seeds, like just through growing up here or whatever, like knowing people and whatnot is,
to make good connections.
Like, there's sort of two ways to look at it. A lot of people look at it in a negative, like a bad thing. Oh, you're secluded from the rest of the world. You're secluded from the rest of Australia.
Yeah.
Like, you can look at it as a good situation, I never really understood that.
Online these days, you reach people all over the world.
Yeah, so it's not even like...
You know, like, it is such a small place. If you are doing something different, it's easy for you to stand out, you know?
Yeah. I just, like, call up a Melbourne dude right now and then say, like, would you rather be in Melbourne or Perth? I guarantee you say
Perth right now, 100%.
Man, Perth is the best, bro.
And so, before we wrap it up, bro, like, if people want to find you, if people want to listen to your music, what's the best place for them to go and listen to your shit?
Yeah, Spotify, Apple Music. You can see my photos and little captions and that on Instagram and, like, where I sort of update what's happening. I've actually been a lot more active on Twitter, which is just, like, I got fucking no followers. But, like, I like updating statuses because I always come up with, like, cool one-liners, but I'm like, I don't want to put that in a photo, like, as a caption, it, like, takes away from it. So, like, I've just been putting up random shit on there.
So, Twitter is a Zane Rose Twitter is,
they couldn't do the asterisk with the E, so it's ZaneRozay, and Instagram, Zane Rose, Spotify, Zane Rose, Apple Music, Zane Rose, YouTube, Zane Rose. And I got a whole bunch of stuff on the way.
New song dropping tomorrow,
Chain, EP, end of October, Paranoid in Paradise.
Yeah, we'll drop a link to the Spotify in the description as well. So, make sure you go check out Zane's music.
Stoked to have you on, man. Like we were saying earlier, we can see you've really been putting in the work. You've been doing some good shit. And we know, like, it's only going to be a matter of time before you have your break and shit gets
to I felt good to hear that, like, on record. It's cool.
Goodbye. And any before we finish, like, for any young artists listening out there, like, what do you reckon is the biggest tip you could give to them?
I know there's so much that you can say is like that they would have heard before, but like I'd say just keep your intent pure. Keep whatever like dream it is at the top of your priority list. Understand when people are trying to poison your garden. And to sort of distance yourself from them, and if you can, cut them off. And just understand that it's a sacred process, and it's amazing once you get to the top. Not that I'm at the top at all, but like it feels good just going for it, because I know that if I was doing fuck all, I'd be hating life. So.
Bro, fucking, you don't want to be, the last thing you want to be doing is being on your deathbed and have regrets. Exactly. You know, like that shit that you didn't try, and obviously, you're out there fucking giving it 100.
And then last thing, don't ever kill your homies' dreams. Because that means they're not going to kill yours. We hope.
Epic. Nah, cheers, bro. Oh, well, that'll wrap it up. Legend.
Appreciate it.
Awesome having you on. And hope you guys enjoyed that episode. That one was epic. If you guys haven't joined the text community already, please text your name to 0412 926 329 to join. Cheers again, legends.